Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Father, thank you once again for the wonderful privilege of being a part of your church, the body of Christ. Thank you for the wonderful blessing to know that you've called us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. What a blessing it is. What a privilege to be a part of your family, the family of God. And thank you for the wonderful, blessed privilege of being able to not only be a part of your family, but we have the privilege and opportunity and the joy of being a part of the body of Christ that's called to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. We have the joy of helping people to be drawn, helping, just being vessels your Spirit can use to draw people off the road to hell, on the road to heaven and eternal life. Lord, set us on fire afresh with a passion to fully be and do all you've called us to be and do as the church, individually and collectively, and help us to live a life where we flow with your Spirit daily and are listening always for the direction and the guidance of your wonderful and blessed Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much that there is no sin greater than your sacrifice. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you can bring resurrection life to any dead bones. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you wanted relationship with us so much that you bore the cross through Jesus and that you brought him into resurrection life, calling us to come alive into your kingdom as well. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity to respond, that we can call others into your kingdom, into your fold, into relationship with you. And Heavenly Father, I just ask that today we would spend time intentionally listening for what you have to say and just spending time with you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Would like to say to all of our listening family, thank you so much for all that you did in the way of praying for our Truth for Youth Bible campaign, for many that called and ordered the Bibles, many teens and or their parents, and for others who may have simply ordered them to use them as wonderful evangelism tools to use to minister and share the gospel with young people all over our nation. By the grace of God, God bless to where we did exceed the $65,000 Bible mark, and we went beyond that, and the Lord just blessed tremendously, and you were a part of that. So thank you so much for the Bibles you ordered. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for participating. And remember, it's an exciting thing to be a part of the work God is doing as we do the work of evangelism and discipleship any and everywhere the Lord has called us to. And remember, evangelizing young people is so important and so such a joyful opportunity as well. May we all take it very seriously. So remember, even though the Truth for Youth campaign is over, you always, all year long, you can order one or more of the Truth for Youth Bibles as an evangelism and discipleship tool for reaching out to young people in our culture. Hope that you'll prayerfully consider doing just that. But once again, thank you for all that you did to help make the Truth for Youth Bible National Bible Week the success that it was. Praise God for that. Father, thank you for blessing us to have surpassed the goal of 65,000 Truth for Youth Bibles going out. And thank you for many people that have or will yet order many more to use as the great evangelism and discipleship tool they are to reach our youth. Father, set us all on fire afresh with a passion and a longing to be used mightily of your Spirit to do the work of evangelizing and discipling our young people in our culture. And Lord, more and more, set more and more of these fires all over the place so that more of your people will get stirred up to want to get involved in this wonderful privilege and opportunity to reach our young people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for that blessing. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We are very grateful and blessed and honored to have with us once again Dr. Ray Noah. He's the president of Petrus Network. He was with us not too long ago, but after that first interview, I was both fascinated and blessed and encouraged to learn about the work they're doing, and so I'm grateful to have him back with us this soon as we are having him back. Dr. Ray, how are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Very good, very good. Thanks for being back with us, and would you once again take time to reintroduce yourself to our listeners and, of course, introduce to some who may not have caught that last broadcast. Tell them about you and yourself. And then tell them about the great work and the mission of Petrus Network.
Well, first of all, it's a delight to be back with you and your listening audience. Again, my name is Ray Noah. I'm the founder and director, or CEO, if you will, of what's called Petrus Network. That's Petrus, P-E-T-R-O-S, Network. And we are a church planning organization. I founded this about 12 years ago now. As a pastor, I was pastoring a church in Portland, Oregon. I've been a pastor for over 40 years. And we just felt like we needed to get more directly involved as a church in doing the mission of God and taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. We gave to our missions department, our denomination, but I wanted to make sure that we were getting directly involved in it. And so we formed this church planting organization, and we mostly have worked in East Africa. We're in Ethiopia, South Sudan, Uganda, Eritrea, no, we're not in Eritrea yet, Djibouti, I meant to say, Somalia, and now in the Saudi Peninsula. So we plant churches in unreached places. Unreached places are defined as there is no even evangelizing presence among them, and they haven't heard the gospel. They don't know who Jesus is. And in fact, you know, we know that 42 to 44% of the world is considered unreached, and so we wanted to do our part in that part of the world to get the gospel out and plant the church and start making disciples. So again, we've been doing that for about 12 years now. We have planted 8,000 churches. We work with over 180 different denominations. We've preached the gospel by count to over 9 million, almost 10 million people, and we've seen 1.8 million people, almost, I think we'll maybe be at 2 million by the end of this year. People have come to know Jesus who never known Jesus before. They heard the gospel, they responded, and now they're being discipled in these churches. So I'm married. I have two daughters, have five grandchildren, and I love what God has called us into at this point in my life. I am just having the time of my life, doing my part as best I know how to fulfill the Great Commission.
Mm. You know, Dr. Ray, once again, it's fascinating to me to hear you share some of the specifics of how the Lord has used the Petros Network to establish churches. You mentioned, again, the number 8,000 seems mind-boggling to me, but we know this. We serve a Heavenly Father that's not impossible for Him, but just very much desiring to better understand how you do what you do as well as in the places that you're doing it. Because, again, as you and I have talked about, I think we, by the grace of God, we like to see the Petros Network explode right here in the U.S. as well in the ways we've seen it in other nations. So would you take time to further share about how the Petros Network does what it does, and also how you have begun to bring the work you're doing into this nation as well?
Yeah, well, it's maybe a bit of a complex story. In other ways, it's not. We didn't enter into this thinking that we would plant 8,000 churches and growing, but at the same time, we dared to pray big prayers. And we feel like we just stepped into something that God is really blessing. Number one, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. I mean, the Great Commission that you read at the beginning of the program says, I will be with you when you take the gospel and make disciples. And so we have experienced God's presence and His favor upon reaching people that have never heard before. You know, Matthew 24:14, he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And that word for all nations in the original Greek is ta ethne, panta ta ethne, which means all of the ethnic groups, not just nations with borders, but to people, you know, in various groups that are throughout the globe. And so, you know, we know that he favors us when we take the gospel to those who've never heard before, unreached people, and then planting churches. You know, Jesus said, I will build my church. That was his plan, to nurture and to house and to send out his disciples. And so, and then the other thing, Pastor Parker, that I think has been so blessable to us is we work in unity with so many different denominations, evangelical denominations, and I think getting us together to put aside maybe what we disagree on and come into unity on the things that we do agree on. And we have just found that unity that's required of this. It's a lot of hard work to keep us in unity, but we found that God's blessing is upon it. Psalm 133, verse 3 says, there where I find the unity, brothers dwelling together in unity, there I will command my blessing. You don't even have to ask for it. He commands His blessing to be upon us. And so, that has just led us into this amazing period of growth of the church in these places. And we don't make these our churches. We simply go in and we support the denominations that are already there and send them their own church planters into these unreached villages. And we teach them to be sustainable within 3 years and reproducing within 3 to 5 years. And so they're not dependent on us. We haven't created our own little colony of churches. But we're just helping the people of God, wherever they exist, to do what God's called them to do. And it's just been absolutely mind-blowing to us. And we're riding this wave of the Holy Spirit until He's done with us.
Hmm. Well, would you share your website for persons that want to learn more about the Petros Network?
Yeah, absolutely. This is one word, Petros Network, P-E-T-R-O-S, network.org. And you can, it's a great website our team has put together, and you can find out everything that you want to know and then some about Petros Network and how you can get involved, going on a trip with us, becoming a prayer partner, which we
absolutely pick up right there on the other side. On the other side of this break, we'll be right back.
This is the story of a runaway. No way home and no way out. I threw the best of me away. I had my chance, it's too late now. Too far gone and too ashamed. to think that you'd still know my name. But love refused to lend my story in that way. You didn't wait for me to find my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance, even if I wanted to. You came running after me when anybody else would have turned and left me at my worst. Love moved first. Grace, relentless grace, would chase this rebel down, crawl into this prisoner's cage, take my hand and pull me out. You knew I couldn't make the change, so you became the change in me. And now I live to tell the story of the God who rescues. You didn't wait for me. Found my way to you. I couldn't cross that distance, even if I wanted to. You came running after me when anybody else would have turned and left me at my worst. Love moved from the throne to the manger, from a manger.
Music from Casting Crowns with Love Moved First. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ray Noah. He's the president and CEO of Petrus Network, a church planting organization. And Dr. Ray, as we begin this segment, would you take time specifically to pray for listeners that they would be wide open to any and all that the Holy Spirit would say to them through the broadcast today?
Amen. So, Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts in this moment. Lord, you have called us all to go as missionaries, not just pastors, not just professional missionaries, but you've called us all to go. And missionaries are those that simply cross borders to take the good news. Maybe we can cross the fence line or the street or across the city, or we can go around the world and we can be a part of this great commission that you've called us to. You've commissioned us to take the good news. And Lord, how do we do that? Well, I know that you've called us to pray. We are to pray and intercede for those who go. We are to pray and intercede for the nations. We're to pray and intercede for the lost, for the unreached. Lord, we can encourage. We can help one another. We can challenge each other. We can share. We can take the gospel to those that are around us and share the good news. And we can give. We can give of our resources to invest in sending the gospel across the street and around the world. And so I would just pray that your Holy Spirit would touch us and pull us in. Lord, open our minds to what our part in that might be. You said in Acts 1:8 that we would receive power to do precisely that, that we would be witnesses in our praying, in our giving, and in our going. And so I just pray that every single person that calls you by name would have a sense of your calling, and then just be open to see how you will lead them into this great harvest. And Lord, we just pray this. By your power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Father, too, thank you for the ministry of the Petrus Network, and thank you for the work they're doing. And thank you, Lord, for many other ministries that you've raised up that specifically are about the work of just in a wonderful, passionate way, building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world and thus carrying out the Great Commission. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon all of us in our hearts and our minds by you, the power of your Spirit. Help us to recognize, Lord, that this is a wonderful task that you've called every single believer in all of the world to be a part of, the work of making disciples. And every one of us is to be a part of the church, a vital part of the church, doing the work of the church. Father, help us to grow, to have a passion for what you've called us to do, and help us to never be laid back and just a ho-hum attitude about doing the work that you've called us to. Help us to recognize, Lord, that every day so many people are leaving this world that don't know Jesus. Lord, help us to not live with a content attitude or an attitude of that's no big deal. Help us to know, Lord, that every person in this world is precious to you. Help us to see people as being precious as well. Help us to be about your work. And Lord, so help us to really be in a position where we'll receive all the guidance and the direction and the commissioning you call us to through the broadcast today. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Amen. Share that website one more time if persons are wanting more information about Petrus Network.
Yes, it's petrosnetwork.org. That's P-E-T-R-O-S, network, one word, petrosnetwork.org.
All righty, all right. You know, if someone was to ask you this question, Dr. Ray, how would you respond if they were to say, you know, Dr. Petrus, I'm not a preacher and I'm not a missionary, so should I have any concern about being involved in starting a church? How would you respond to that question?
Well, I would say if God has called you to something, if he's stirring your heart, if he's gifted you with certain gifts, hospitality, a gift of intercession, the gift of leadership, I think we can all be a part of planning a church, of being a part of a church, not just a formal church that maybe we attend that has, you know, made a brick and mortar, but where I define a church. Not in opposition to the formal church, but I define the church as where two or three gather in my name. There I am, and we're encouraging each other, we're challenging each other, we're helping each other to grow. We're talking about how can we all get engaged, even our little group. How can we get engaged in taking the gospel out of showing, not just sharing, but showing what the gospel looks like in a community, in a neighborhood, in an apartment complex. I think we all ought to be under submission to someone. So again, I'm not saying we leave the formal church and go out and, you know, do whatever we want to do. I really do think there's lines of authority. God has given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers to train up the laity to do the work of the ministry. So in that sense, we're all ministers. We're all missionaries. Martin Luther said every Christian has a duty to be a missionary to their neighbor. And so I think the possibilities are endless of how we can build the church wherever we live, not only around the world, but right where we live, right across the street, right across the city.
Mm. Well, would you take time now, paint a picture for us and tell us just kind of in a way that you're able to, the step-by-step process whereby Petrus Network goes into a given community or nation or community and begins a new church fellowship. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, we do some spiritual listening. We begin to just listen. We know we're called to go. Now, where do we go? Well, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, and it's amazing how many times and in how many ways he will lay something on our heart. You know, we have been praying and listening, and God definitely led us to Ethiopia. And then out of that, there was this call to go to South Sudan and Uganda. We're now considering other parts of Africa, other parts of the world. We also prayed that about our own city. How do we not just leave this in Africa? How do we bring Africa and what you're doing there? How do we bring it back to the city of Portland, which is one of the most unchurched cities in the United States? And so we begin to pray, and then God began to stir our hearts about opportunities, and then he opened doors, and he brought people to us. And so we begin to plant little communities, little church communities among unreached people here in our own city. And it was amazing just to see how God began to stir hearts and stir the to stir the lost to begin to come into these fellowships. I think it's possible in any place, in any city, in any format or forum, but I think we start by praying, God, what do you want me to do? God, I know the harvest is plentiful, and you need workers. Am I one of those workers? God, if I am, will you connect me with other people who are like-minded? Will you begin to stir our hearts about a place, a time, a way to do this? And I think the Lord will be faithful to show us.
Mm. You know, you said so much in just the few words you've shared thus far on the broadcast, but, you know, just the whole idea of us beginning with prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit, I think of this, that it's simple, but it's profound all at the same time. Immediately after the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, he falls off his horse, he sees the light, and Jesus talks to him. And wants to know, who are you, Lord? But then his next question, such a profound and a simple question and prayer all at the same time. What do you want me to do? And what a great prayer for us as believers to pray daily, because God does have a will and wills certain things for each of us to be involved with daily, but it involves us learning to listen to his Holy Spirit. And so how important it is that we be a listening church. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us to be able to pray daily as individual believers and as believers who are coming together to serve you and as the church. Father, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us to be believers that live a life given to prayer and a life as a part of that prayer life, a life of listening to your Holy Spirit, wide open to your direction. Help us to never be in such a way that we're praying but not listening. Help us to always to listen for your direction, for your guidance, and to know, Lord, that your way is the best way to do any and everything. Teach us and empower us to be the listening church that you called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Ray, you share how that you start by praying and listening for the Holy Spirit's direction insofar as where you go then. So, and then once you get direction in, can you share kind of what are the next steps that follow that?
Well, let me maybe just an example might help. We had a young man and his wife who lived in a apartment complex in downtown Portland in the what's called the Pearl District,
mm-hmm.
one of the most unchurched parts of our unchurched city.
Mm-hmm.
And so they began to say, God, what would you have us to do? And they began to walk the streets, do prayer walks, and the Lord laid on their hearts and said, you need to be missionaries. You need to embed in this area, and you need to begin to learn the culture and then begin to reach out by just being good people, kind people, and then inviting people into some sort of, you know, gathering where you could listen to them, but they would then listen to you. And so we started out, he came to me with his vision, and we began to pray about it, and he began to reach out to those who, you know, were the overseers of their high-rise community,
mm-hmm.
And then he came up with this creative idea. The Lord gave him a creative idea to have a dinner community in the kind of the rec room of that apartment complex. He called it his vertical neighborhood. There was about 400 people that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And they begin to invite people to dinner. I think they were doing it once a month. People would bring things, and they would just have fellowship, and they would talk. And, you know, again, these people weren't church people. But then he would say, look, I'm a believer, and any of you who are interested, we're going to have another gathering where you can come and listen and ask questions. And so they started doing that. People started showing up to it. And then his next step was on Sundays, they begin to have a faith gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just amazing how the Lord began to bring people to them. He had a lady and her daughter come one Sunday morning, and she said, I'm not a part of a church, never have been, but I just felt like I was supposed to go to a church. And she said, but the closest one was like 8 blocks away, and that's just far, too far for us. I mean, believe that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so she came and got saved, and this just began to grow, and then other buildings, other high-rise buildings in that downtown complex begin to reach out. They heard mm-hmm. about it, and they begin to say, hey, would you do this in our community as well? And so we ended up planting 6 churches in one of the most unreached parts of our city, and it was very unique. It wasn't like, you know, what most of us, the traditional church that most of us have gone to, but, you know, I begin to realize that so many of the people of Portland would not dare to darken the doorway of our church. They just looked at us as weird or, you know, whatever, and they had no interest, but they would come to a real, live, warm experience of who Jesus was expressed through his people, coming together, gathering in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it got started, and, you know, we just began to look for people in each of those complexes that were believers and had a heart for the lost, were willing to be hospitable, to, you know, maybe begin to talk to people, tell them their own story about Jesus and what he's done for their lives, and see what happened. And it's amazing what did happen. The Lord really used that.
You know, that beautifully kind of illustrates just, I think, an important truth that, you know, we're not to think of church by our definition and the way we perceive it, but we're to follow God. because God can define the church a whole lot better than we can.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Praise God for that. Father, thank you again for the great work that you're doing through Petrus Network. But Lord, there are other church planting entities that are doing great work as well. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that all of us are called to listen to your Holy Spirit and to follow. One day at a time, one step at a time, one instance at a time, as we're simply listening and being wide open to what you may tell us to do, to pray for this person, go visit this individual, give such and such a thing to that individual. Help us to know, Lord, that there's so much work out there to be done. And we're simply your hands and feet in the world. Help us to know, Lord, that when we follow your direction, we'll always be successful as we simply hear your word and obey it. Thank you for the opportunity to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to be a vessel that your Holy Spirit can reach people. Lord, and we know that the world is hurting in so many ways. People are hurting in so many places in our communities. Help us to know, Lord, that just as you are our great role model, you went about doing good. Help us to listen and follow. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ray Noah, the president of the Petrus Network Church Planting Ministry. We'll be right back. Toby Mac with City on Our Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ray Noah. He's the president and CEO of the Petrus Network Church Planting Ministry. Dr. Ray, one more time, share with our listeners the website for persons that want to learn more, or maybe persons who are thinking they'd like to, they feel like maybe the Lord's calling them to start a church in their community as well, how they can connect with you.
Sure. Our website is www.petrosnetwork, that's one word, Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S, .org, and we would love to have you visit it, and if you have questions for us, to get a hold of us, we're happy to help you and to share what we know to get you started in doing what God has called you to do.
And also, so I guess, like, if there are persons that may want to travel with you all on a given mission trip, they can find out information about that as well on the website?
Absolutely, yeah. We list out all of our trips, and there's a trip application where we're in, we share where we're going to go, when we're going to go, and we love to have people go with us. It changes you when you see what God is doing in those parts of the world. I talk about how it dislocated my heart forever, and I'm glad for it. So we love to take people with us, and we find significant things for them to do. They don't feel like they're just a fifth wheel. We put you to work, and it's good work. It's tiring work, but it's blessed work. Mm-hmm. You'll never be the same.
And how soon will you have some of those trips where people could plug into?
Well, we have our next trip is in, I think it's 6 different places in East Africa. We're going in October and November. It's kind of a long trip. It might be a little too soon for people to go, but we will be going back to Africa in January, February. We do one after Easter, whether it's April or May, and then again the fall comes around. And we usually go in October, first part of November. And those are in one-week increments, so you don't have to go the whole time. You choose a place, go for a week, come back home if that's what you need to do, or stay and see all of those places.
Mm, okay. Well, would you take time now specifically to pray for churches to become much more mission-minded and much more inclined to want to be a part of starting new churches, even though that may be kind of foreign to the thoughts and the minds of many pastors and or churches, period, but the fact that it's a part of what God is clearly calling us to do, would you pray for the church in that regard?
Do I still have you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
I can. I think okay. We lost each other for a minute. I'm here. Do you want me to pray?
Okay. Yes. Would you specifically pray for the church to become much more mission-minded and have a mindset to be involved in this in view of the fact that God has clearly called us to it?
Absolutely. So, Father, I want to pray. This is a very, very passionate calling I have to inspire others to get on mission with you, and I can't do that without your help, and we need you. We need you to dislocate our hearts for what dislocates your heart. Your heart was moved with compassion for those who were lost, those who were without a shepherd, those who were harassed by the enemy. And Lord, it's just contrary to your heart that just because someone lives in a place where they happen to be born in a place where there was no presence of the gospel, that they should not have access to you. So I pray that you would speak to us, rattle us, dislocate us, so that we would realize you have called us to be on mission with you. We were commissioned. We were called and commissioned to pick up where Jesus left off, to take the story, and not just to share the story, but to show the story, to show what the goodness of God, the good news actually looks like in practical ways. And so, God, stir your people, stir churches. Lord, get us off those things that are secondary to the main thing. Now, we would, once again, elevate the main thing and keep the main thing, and that is getting the good news out, both in word and in deed, to the rest of the world. So we just pray this by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. Please awaken your church to the mission. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Dr. Ray, you also mentioned that you all actually work with at least 180 different denominations. Mm-hmm. Can you share just maybe a few of the denominations you've worked with and how you've begun to work with them?
Sure. Well, in the United States, we've worked with the Foursquare denomination. We've worked with the Vineyard denomination. We work with the Assemblies of God. We work with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. I mean, wow, I just could go on and on about that all day long. We just have a lot of churches. We're very diverse, very different from each other, but we have this in common, the mission of God. Mm-hmm. And we agree on what we agree upon. And we just stay away from things that maybe are distinctives of our denomination, but we focus on what are the core doctrines of the church, of the Bible. And so we have adopted as our statement of faith what's called the World Evangelical Alliance or the World Evangelical Council, mm-hmm. 7 statements of what we believe. It's similar to the National Association of Evangelicals here in the United States. These are the 7 doctrines that form the core of all evangelical faith. And so we just focus on that. And the Lord has just brought us together to take this mission to the rest of the world. In the rest of the world, we work with a lot of different indigenous denominations, there are Lutheran denominations, Mennonite denominations, Baptists. I mean, it is a hodgepodge of denominations that have come together to do this work.
Mm. That's neat. That's really neat. And so would it be accurate to say then that a number of different denominations, they're approaching you with the goal of thinking, they definitely want to start new church fellowships, but they really feel like they really need understanding and wisdom and direction about how to go about it. They're looking to you for that direction. Would that be correct to say?
That would be correct. It's a lot of work, and the Lord just led us into it. We developed a system. We have processes to manage it, administrate it, guide it, correct it if it gets off. And, you know, a lot of local pastors in the United States say, man, I want to be a part of something like that, but we don't have the ability to do that ourselves. And that's really why Petra started. People saw me doing this as a pastor of a local church, and they said, hey, we want to be a part of that. You need to form a missions nonprofit to kind of house all of the finances and this and that. And so that's why we started Petra's Network, really, is to help other churches and denominations and even missions agencies to fulfill what God has called them to do. We just have a process that works, and they've seen that, and they've gladly joined, and we're, you know, in partnership together to do this. So that's why we called it a network. It's people coming together, churches coming together to, you know, focus on the fulfillment of the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dr. Ray, I think of this that like, and of course, and what just so many of the things you're sharing sound so powerful in relation to how the Spirit of God moves and how he's using your organization, but how he moves in the church as well. You know, the reality is there are a number of denominations that literally are shrinking by the day. Closing churches, and they see their numbers dwindling. And so it looks like to me there's great wisdom in any denomination that wants to grow and be more productive in the kingdom to decide, hey, let's go and learn from Petra's Network. Let's go and listen and find out what they're doing, how they're doing, maybe how we can plug in and begin to be about the work we've clearly been called to do then. So would you pray for churches and church groups out there to think along the line of wanting to do that more?
So, Father, there is nothing in my experience that revitalizes a local church or a denomination than by refocusing on the Great Commission, on taking the gospel to the ends of the world. And, Lord, there are places that are easier than others, and sometimes when we go to these places that have low-hanging fruit, we can plant hundreds, if not thousands, of churches, but my experience tells me that there's nothing that revitalizes your own church when you get focused on that. And so, Lord, I again, we know that in the United States, the church attendance, Christianity has been waning, but Lord, your kingdom is thriving around the world. And so, Lord, we don't want to just accept the fact that maybe the church isn't what it used to be. But Lord, would you just stir us? Because I do believe with all my heart, that if local churches and denominations would refocus on the Great Commission, I think you would breathe fresh wind and fresh fire into our spiritual bodies, our faith gatherings, and there would be a fire lit by the Holy Spirit among us. And so, God, I just pray the people listening to this, pastors listening to this, leaders listening to this would catch hold of this and allow you to speak to their hearts about what you would have them do. Lord, revive your church in America, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. One more time, share that website, please.
Yeah, thank you. It's Petra's Network, one word, petrasnetwork.org. And we would love for you to visit our site. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us. We're happy to talk. I love talking about this, obviously. So we would be happy to talk to anyone who's interested.
Amen. Amen. And I would mention, Dr. Ray, too, I'm very much interested in learning more about Petra's Network and looking at ways that our church family can plug in and begin to work with you, because again, it's exciting, obviously, to see how God has used and is continuing to use it. So thank you again for the work that you're doing. Father, thank you again for the Petra's Network, and thank you for all those that are a part of the staff. Thank you for all the churches that are affiliated or connected to them, all the denominational families that have chosen to work in union with them. Lord, set them all on fire afresh with the spirit of revival. Stir them more and more to be about your work. And Lord, more and more, help more entities within the body of Christ to see the need to be about the work that they're doing, the work of beginning new fellowships, any and everywhere you would have them to. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And our encouragement is to all of our listeners, please pray much for Dr. Ray Noah and the ministry of Petrus Network as they continue the great work the Lord has called them to. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, remember, this is the single most important decision you can make in all of life, the decision to commit your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us now and make that very important step even right now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I can be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to follow you every day. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me and hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. We want to remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. And again, once again, please pray much for, as we mentioned, for Dr. Ray Noah and the ministry of Petrus Network as they continue to do the work of carrying out the Great Commission and helping the church to do it more effectively any and everywhere he's called us to. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.